Hello and welcome to episode 111 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. I'm Ben.
I'm Derek.
And this is Tink.
This week, we're talking about a fancy new way to play with cardboard, a fancy new way to read words, and a not-so-fancy and not-so-new way to produce content. Without further ado, let's get started.
So to kick off the show, I figured I'd bring up a recent announcement that Nintendo has made called Nintendo Labo. Ben, I know you've seen the video. Tank, have you seen this at all?
I have not seen the video.
Okay.
Or seen this at all.
Quick anecdote. When I watched the video, because you said you were going to talk about it, mm-hmm. I watched it with my wife, who at the end of the video saw the name of it, Nintendo Labo, and she goes, "That's stupid. Why didn't they just call it Lab?" I thought it was funny, too.
Yeah, the name is a little awkward, but it's okay. We'll move right on past that. Nintendo Labo, first off, I highly recommend you go watch the video now before listening to the rest of this, and then we'll talk about it.
Great idea.
Okay, you've come back from the video. Nintendo Labo is...
And those of you who haven't come back from the video... I know who you are, and I'm watching you.
Okay, so...
You can cut that out if you want.
No, that's fine. That's great. Nintendo Labo is basically Nintendo creating cardboard to play with the Nintendo Switch. Now, when I first started watching the video, I saw them putting this cardboard together and figured, oh, this is cool. They're going to build some cardboard things to be able to put your Joy-Con into for, like, I don't know, racing games, like a steering wheel or something, like something that is like what we would think of as normal, like almost Wii-like augmentations, like, you know, how they had like pistols to put your Wiimotes in and steering wheels, that sort of thing. But then it got to the cardboard piano and they tapped a key and it went ding. and my jaw just dropped. I was like, oh, this is cool. And throughout the rest of the video, you see all these different cardboard inventions. And there's like strings and stuff behind there. That's this whole creation aspect to this. It comes with games to put on your Switch. You put your various parts of your Switch in these things, and you could be a robot that punches buildings or you know, play the piano. There's a couple other inventions that I'm not quite remembering at the moment. But it's really cool, and this is something that I would have been all over when I was, like, early teens or before that. Like, and probably even now. I'm not going to lie. Definitely now I would also be into it. So I don't really have a direction with this. I just wanted to get your guys' reactions and see what you thought.
Well, I'll just mention that since kids aren't bored anymore, this will never work.
Mm, okay. All right, let's unpack that a little bit. What do you mean by that?
So you're enticed?
I am enticed. Continue. I am intrigued.
All right. I'll go on. Creativity lies on the other side of boredom. So says Phil Vischer, the creator of VeggieTales.
Mm-hmm.
And if Bob the Tomato says it, then it must be true. So... since we live in this information social media age in which boredom has been obliterated, there is no more creativity. Oh, except when you're on a long car ride and you're wondering every 5 minutes when we're going to be there. So hopefully this thing works in the car well.
I would probably dispute that a little bit just because, you know, I have to. But it's like this contractual thing Ben and I have that we have to disagree with each other on most things.
Yep, that's 100% true. No, wait, that's wrong. That's wrong, Derek.
I think boredom has merely shifted to other things because I've definitely been bored scrolling through social media. And that's presumably the thing that we no longer have boredom from because of. I worded that strangely, but... anyway,
go to the board and diagram that sentence.
I think if you showed this to just about any kid, they would be, well, not any kid, but like the kids that are interested in building things, like this would like amaze them. And I don't know. I think this is really cool. This is Nintendo at their finest doing creative things now that they have created something successful and can just play. It's amazing to watch Nintendo at work here.
Yep, I agree. I'm excited about it for kids. And I was kind of mostly joking.
Oh, I know. Because
you know how like in the old days, the man goes to the refrigerator, opens it to see what's inside, and then closes it, and then 5 seconds later opens the refrigerator again?
Yep.
And he's like, wait, I just looked in here and there's actually nothing. Mm-hmm. That's what we do now with our Twitter feeds.
Absolutely. Mm. I absolutely do that.
I do that with Feedly.
Yes, yep. Like, that too.
Is there any more Japanese articles? Yeah.
If someone could just stream more information directly to my brain right now, please, that would be great. Thank you.
So I have now watched the video. My first thought was a memory of the moment Nintendo lost all of its dignity in my eyes. I had had a Wii for a little while, and it was kind of fun, but it definitely wasn't what I imagined it would be. And then I watched an E3 press conference, and they showed Wii Music. And basically, all these important people in Nintendo stood on the stage and just shook a Wii remote and acted like they were having a ton of fun playing fake instruments. But literally, all they were doing was like shaking the remotes and pushing buttons, and an orchestra was playing. And I was like, how is this fun? Yeah. There's nothing fun in this.
Episode title, how is this fun?
I have now watched that video, and it's like what Wii Music should have been.
Yes.
Yeah.
They have. So basically, this is like Nintendo is a redemption story right here.
Yeah. Oh, it totally is. This is their comeback from the Wii U, which they did not do well at. And yeah, it was.
I don't know who they were redeemed by, though. So maybe it's not a redemption story.
It's
a Cinderella story.
There you go. Said that.
But anyway, so yeah. But it's definitely a comeback. And I thought that looked awesome. And I would love to be the robot.
Yes. Yes. So,
I think I've already taken back what I said on the show a long time ago I've already said I was wrong about what I said, that the Switch wouldn't do well. I was definitely wrong. And, yeah, now I'm even more impressed with where they're going. So my friends, I guess this has been out for a while. I didn't actually check the release date, but my friend recently introduced me to Kindle Wordrunner, and I've really been enjoying it. So Kindle Wordrunner, there's a link to it in the show notes where you can see an example.
Spoiler alert, not available on iOS.
Yeah, it's not available on iOS, sadly. I didn't realize that because I have Android and I've been enjoying it for a while. So anyway, what it does is it reminds me kind of like whenever you watch a movie and they're brainwashing someone, they just force them to stare wide-eyed at a screen and it just shows images, flashes images at them. That's essentially what Kindle Wordrunner is. You just stare wide-eyed at your phone and it flashes one word at a time really, 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 really
fast.
Oh,
I've used one of these apps. These are cool. Yeah.
I have too.
Oh, so that you can use them for iOS?
Well, other things make... Other, so like, for example, Instapaper... which is like a pocket. Mm. We've recommended Pocket before on the show for like a save it later for reading articles on the internet. Instapaper is a competitor for that, if you don't know. And they have this feature built in. So they'll turn your web article into a word runner. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Just one word at a time right in the middle of the screen. And you can control the speed.
Yep. Yep. That's the same thing here. So if you want to try it, use Instapaper instead of Kindle Wordrunner. But yeah, I've been using it recently to read a few different styles of books, like books more for fun, books for seminary, hard books for seminary. And it definitely has sped up my reading. Usually Michelle is way faster of a reader and we're reading the same book at the same time. And I like blew her out of the water using Kindle Wordrunner. but I feel like I retain quite well if the book is simple. Yeah, if it's not like the hard seminary book. Whenever it's the hard seminary book, I can still use it, but I get lost. They use big words and use things in parentheses, and they do it whenever they do like...
Oh, yeah, because you lose all context.
Yeah.
So like a parenthetical phrase that's injected into the middle of a sentence is like, whoa, what's happening right here? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we're talking about robots. What?
Yeah, so it's... It's definitely difficult, and I wouldn't recommend it for all things, but it's worth a try.
Yeah, so. When I used one, it was probably a few, it's had to be like 4 or 5 years ago now. I used it for like in conjunction with Pocket or something like that. Like it would feed off of those. And I could never, I kept using it for a while and thinking that, oh, I'm probably getting stuff out of that. But I could never get out of my own head when I was actually in the process of reading these words. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I have to go back again. Like I could never not think about the fact that I am using something very strange to read. And so I couldn't ever quite get the hang of it. But I know people that swear by these, and it is cool. It's a cool idea.
I sometimes have that same problem with my speak screen trick that I've also talked about on the show. Maybe we can mm-hmm. link the episode, mm-hmm. Which is how I read, oh, I don't know, 10 out of 10 books, 9 out of 10 books, something like that. It's like, oh, I missed that entire page. So I just I go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Nice. I was just talking to a friend last night, and he uses like the Kindle. He said he doesn't like this, which I completely understand some people not liking this. Yeah, he said he uses the speak screen like you do. But you can speed it up, I guess. Like
multiply
the speed. Yeah. So he multiplies it by 4, and then he reads the book at the same time. So he holds the book in front of him and follows along. Is that what you do? Or do you just listen?
Yeah, that is what I do, yes.
That's what you do. Oh, okay, cool.
Also, this is my current speed.
Not truly atoned for the people's sin, but these were external regulations applying until the time of the new order, Heb 9-7-10. The glory of God was awesome, but greater glory.
That's awesome.
Nice. How fast is that, just out of curiosity?
I have no idea. You can clearly tell what this is saying. It's talking about the glory cloud.
Sounds like Ben has a lot of practice. Yeah, so that's another fast method as well. If Word Runner doesn't work, then check out Ben's method, because I think that's definitely a really viable one. I had always assumed you just listened, and for me, I'm not a listener. Like
I prefer to do both,
seeing,
for sure.
So. That's cool.
And if anyone's listening to this and they don't remember the episode or they can't find it, just tweet at me, and I will tell you how to set it up. That's at Benjamin J. Robin.
Yeah, so in 2018, I almost said 2017, as you're looking into how many new books you want to read for the year, definitely check out Word Runner or Screen Reader or any other method of helping you read books faster and better, hopefully.
Our sponsor this week is Missional Wear, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missional Wear designs fun and useful things to broadcast your faith for the world to see. The designs are really beautiful, and they've gotten into a Peter Voth kick recently. They've got a new Five Solas series of apparel and drinkware and whatever, a bunch of stuff going on. You can get all these designs on a variety of items, including clothing like t-shirts and hats, moleskin journals, drinkware, insulated tumblers, posters, and far more. Missional Wear has been doing their thing for over 6 years, and they've grown an impressive library of designs and items that will appeal to any theologian. Check them out at missionalwear.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. And thanks to them for sponsoring Tech Reformation this week.
So Derek raised an interesting point last week on the show, briefly. I think you alluded to it when I brought up the Christian Daily Reporter and how it's loosely modeled after the Drudge Report, the style and even somewhat the content, but not quite, more the styling and the design of it. And then we had a whole follow-up discussion in the Slack, in the episode discussion channel, on this topic. And I just wanted to hear from you guys on the episode a little bit more about it. Basically, the idea is, should Christians copy other formats, so maybe quote-unquote secular formats, of communicating things? So an example of this is the Christian Daily Reporter, like we talked about last week. Another one I've thought of is Next Week with Jeff Durbin, which is a Christian late... It's the first ever Christian late night show. You can find it on YouTube or Facebook Video. They did 12 episodes for season one a couple months ago. I generally think it's great. I enjoyed it, and I've recommended it to people. But the question's not so much about that. It's more about the format. So obviously, with CDR, they're modeling it after Drudge. With Next Week, they're modeling it after, you know, your typical late night show with all of the people, James Corden and Stephen Colbert and all of those people. And it's just a pretty distinct format. And so you just make a Christian version of it. So back in the 90s, you know, you could think of like the 7-Up brand t-shirt in all the youth groups and things like that. This has been going on for, I don't know, 2,000 years? No, I don't know. So my question is, should we do this? Why or why not? Derek, I'll let you state your case first because I know you have opinions.
Well, I don't think I ever directly brought this up in the show last week because I thought it was kind of a weak point in my argumentation. And basically, it's just something that annoys me as opposed to something that I can actually tell people, okay, you're bad for doing this. But I did bring it up in the Slack along the conversation somewhere that I'm a little frustrated that... that all of Adam Ford's ventures tend to be knockoffs of someone else. So like Adam Ford early on was very much, was very close to The Oatmeal in style, which The Oatmeal is a great comic, vulgar. So don't go there if that bothers you. The Babylon Bee is of course another onion-esque, website, you know, the satire site. And then of course this is The Drudge Report. Basically, but a Christian version. Although I feel like the people who run the Drudge maybe are still that segment of people that would call themselves Christian, perhaps. I don't know. In any case, like Christian music is typically like very derivative of what is going on.
That's another good example.
There's not innovation in Christian music. Except I will say there's a bunch of indie bands that do a lot of great music, but they're not mainstream because, you know, innovation doesn't tend to run mainstream. It's one of those things where it's like, I don't have a Bible verse for this, but it's something that just bothers me creatively as a creative. I mean, we also, our podcast is modeled after others, in spirit. And I think to your next, thought that Next Week with Jeff Durbin, I think that's actually more of an appropriate thing. I think that's more of a genre, like late night show is not really held by anyone. It's a thing. And so now we can make a Christian version of that thing. And if it's great, then that's great. It's less copy, more, just participating in the same field as others are.
And this is why I wanted to bring this up. So this is the counterpoint that was raised, at least inside my head. It's a little bit of a reductio ad absurdum. I realize that. But no one's getting mad at Christians for writing books. Huh?
Huh? I see what you're saying.
Pretty good, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought so too.
We need to invent our own format for communicating with people, folks. I mean, we can't be using this thing that all these secular people are doing. We need to innovate.
The printing press was used to print the Bible, right? So maybe
that's true.
All the secular people are stealing our stuff.
That's right.
Just kidding.
In all seriousness, though, the book point is kind of just a joke. But there are, like, I think you're absolutely right, Derek. There are genres of things, like novel, for example, is a type of book, generally. I guess novel is specific to book, not just like story. Anyway, novel, type of book, right, is a genre of thing that you use to communicate a point, and people have been writing them since who knows how long, and Christians write them too. So I'm wondering if the format itself is more of a cultural communication vehicle, which we absolutely should repurpose to communicate God's truth. Because it's not the case that, like, you couldn't just say in response to that, well, everyone writes books, because the clicking tribes of Africa do not write books. See what I mean? Anywho, tribes of Africa. Where I think there's more of an argument that I'm interested to hear from you guys on is style. So if we allow for the idea of a cultural format to communicate truth, and we say that books and late night shows and novels fit inside this, which I think they do, is it true that, so websites, obviously, is it true that maybe The issue is style inside the format. So obviously, like the three examples that you gave, Derek, the onion and the oatmeal and the Drudge Report are all pretty obviously the thing that they are, like stylistically. Yeah. It's not just another web page. And so it does feel more like a... And the other example I gave is, you know, 90s kids Christian TV shirts where they, you know, the Coca-Cola brand and the 7-Up brand and all that
stuff.
And maybe contemporary Christian music is a little bit guilty of that as well. But I'm wondering what it is really that separates those two things, because I do see the two categories.
Yeah.
Is it just number of people? Like there's just 7 late night shows and so that's now a format and so we can make one?
Yeah, right. I don't know. I want to bring up our show kind of as an example to maybe talk about. Like our current show, I feel is very similar to something like Clockwise, which has, you know, 4 topics. What's their tagline? 4 topics, 4 people, 30 minutes. Like, it's very much of a rigorous, okay, we have 5 minutes to discuss every single thing, and there's 4 people, and it's kind of a round table sort of thing. That's kind of what we ended up turning our show into, stylistically a little bit, but it's not as rigid. It's a little bit looser. We are still kind of our own thing. We're not clearly ripping off from Clockwise.
We have a distinct voice that they don't have.
Right.
See, this is, I think, the point. Design is iterative. Good design is iterative. You take something that exists and you make it better, even slightly. I think that's fine.
Yeah, I know. That makes sense. I think part of my issue with CDR was that the Drudge communicated something in its format that I don't think CDR really wanted to communicate. CDR is very much like its voice is to, we don't need to be palatable to social media. That's not our goal. The Drudge Report has a very different vibe than just that. It has a very, very specifically political vibe to the way it's designed, whether intentional or unintentional. I think I mentioned last week, it looks like a right-wing nut job coded it. CDR is not quite that bad, but it still definitely has that vibe to it. I think looking at our design as something that communicates something in and of itself is useful. And that's kind of what my issue was.
Well, I will wrap this one up by saying I am by no means a designer, and we have probably strayed a little bit from our area of expertise. So we may need our friends over at Helvetic, a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
To dive into this topic and help us out.
Yeah, and if they ever do, we've said, hey, you guys should do an episode on this. If they ever do an episode on this, we'll mention it in a future show and, you know, let you know.
If you would like to connect with us, you can do so by joining our community on Slack. Sign up for free at slack.techreformation.com.
You can visit our website to search for past shows and topics. We have everything there. Click the little button that searches, and it'll take you to a little search page.
And if you're the kind of person who checks the refrigerator every 5 minutes to see if something's new, add us on Twitter at Tech Reformation, and more oftentimes there will be.
This has been Tech Reformation. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. And I ain't looking back. No, I ain't looking back. No.
Oh,
never mind. Okay. That joke fell flat. Derek, get rid of that one.
Sorry.
I want people to only think that I tell funny jokes that you guys laugh to. So please delete all the ones that are clunkers.
I have taken jokes that I have not gotten right away and put laughs directly behind them because they were funny. I just didn't get them right away.
That's funny.
I love that. I hope that's true.
It is true. I've definitely done that with a couple of them.
Oh my gosh, I just imagine you having laugh tracks of dead people. I mean, of yourself.
No, I just pick like laughs from elsewhere in the show and like reuse them.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Definitely that's a spoiler. So.
What were you going to say, Tank?
Yes, Tank, you were saying something intelligible.
Yes.
Unlike us.